Making our way through a Thursday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. A Thursday that's got a lot of different things to talk about. And one of the topics that I have been talking about nonstop over the last few weeks has been the removal of Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore as head of F Division, as head of the RCMP in Saskatchewan. The most ludicrous, counterintuitive decision to community safety that I've seen made in Canada in years. And I've talked about this on the show. We've talked about the fact, I mean, Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore has been on this program regularly on a monthly basis. And I said this the very first time I talked about it, and I'm going to continue to say it. While I continue to support the people that are out there trying and working hard to keep our community safe, there's a ton of great frontline resources that are doing this work throughout the province. I am very critical, and I think this highlights the deep problems that exist in the model of the RCMP, the structure of the RCMP, and I'm calling into question the leadership of the RCMP in Ottawa, the lack of insight and wisdom being used in this decision. We know that Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore has been removed from her position because of an anonymous complaint that has been lodged. And I've told you, I've got a ton of sources in the RCMP here locally and in Ottawa. I have a very good idea, although I have not seen the actual complaint document. I feel like I could probably write it out almost word for word in the conversations that I've had. And what I cannot wait for, and I mean cannot wait for, is the day that document becomes public, because you think there's community outrage now. It's going to go through the roof when people see what the allegations are. These are allegations that actually help Rhonda Blackmore more than hurt her once you learn what they are. Ridiculous. Anyway, I loved the fact that yesterday I saw a media release come out from the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations. FSIN executive put out a statement yesterday requesting clear disclosure and oversight regarding the June 3rd removal of Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore from her post as the officer in charge of F Division RCMP. The release goes on. It quotes a number of tribal chiefs, but who better to hear from than the head of FSIN, Chief Bobby Cameron, joins me by phone this morning. Chief Cameron, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. Good morning to you, too.
Why was this important for FSIN to put this release out on Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore?
Just, you know, I've been thinking for quite some time since we got the terrible news. We were saddened. We were frustrated. We were outraged. We were in shock. We couldn't believe it. Why? Why during this time when things were going so smoothly, so great? Sure, there's bumps and challenges. But this lady, let me tell you, did her absolute best to work with each First Nation and any organization. Her communication skills were second to none in addressing what we are facing every single day, Evan, and to all the listeners. The harmful, the devastation of the effects of alcohol and drugs and the violence and the unnecessary deaths that come with it. Here we were, you know, on any given month, we would get an update. There was a drug bust here. Firearms were involved. Yeah, you know, like, that's what we're battling. And I try to compare it like this, Evan, with Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid. You're not going to trade away your best player, for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep doing your best to ensure the results keep coming and that at least together we chip away at the overall crisis we're facing every day within our First Nation community. So we felt it was important to support her that way. I did talk to Mike Duhaime, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name.
The commissioner, yeah.
Yeah, and told him, you know, told him we were frustrated and upset and saddened to hear of this. But very little info as to why, and we have a good understanding as to why. And when that comes out, There'll be more to say for sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you help me understand, Chief Cameron, what sets Rhonda Blackmore apart in your mind? You talk about the positive things. It's no secret that there has been a challenged historical relationship between policing and First Nations. You and I had the opportunity to work together many times through the years while I was with the Regina Police Service. I know there's things that set Rhonda apart from other police leaders that you may have interacted with. Can you help us understand what that is?
I look at the James Smith Cree Nation tragedy there and how she got right involved with the interactions, with the investigation, with the meetings and taking direction from chief and councils. You know, the word trust comes to mind, right? There's been a lot of mistrust over the years, and for the right reasons, between First Nations and some law enforcement. I say some because there's a lot of good officers out there, don't get me wrong. You know, when we make comments, some folks just think FSI and blankets everybody, but it's not. There's a lot of great officers out there who have heart and compassion, but to keep them all together and keep them running smoothly like a truck motor, that's what Rhonda Blackmore meant. You know, she faced it head on. You know, she faced the challenges, welcomed them. Although they were sensitive, she dealt with them with us and sat at the table, heard our concerns, and tried to come up with the best solutions. That's why we think, I shouldn't say think, we know. We know that's why she was removed, because she was working with us in addressing the racism, because it still exists. It still exists there, Evan, within certain officials. The internal politics of the head of the RCMP, it's still there. And together, hopefully one day, we'll eliminate it, because it's only imperative that we come together and continue the good work together.
Mm-hmm. Your media release yesterday, Chief Cameron, calls for a couple of things. Can we talk about what you're looking for in terms of the key demands from this release?
Yeah, for sure. We want answers, pretty much. We don't want to be sidelined or shuffled over, or, you know, getting deflected, the answers deflected. We want truth. We want answers as to why. And, to, you know, we still call for her to come back. We still want her back.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's some strong words in the release. I'll continue to talk about it. We'll share it through our website as well. Chief Bobby Cameron, FSIN, is my guest. I have a couple of other quick topics before I let you go. You yourself and your team at FSIN have been very actively involved in the wildfire situation in the north, which I know is hopefully moving in the right direction. People are being returned to their communities. Just some thoughts and comments on what you saw up there and the province's response.
Yeah, what we saw was a complete devastation, complete chaos with such an unprecedented wildfire situation. The Dunair Beach, the community of Dunair Beach and others, and I say this to all the listeners out there, imagine losing everything in your life that meant so dear to you. The TVs, the couches, things like that don't matter. But when you lose family symbols, such as a picture that we wanted to leave in our home for decades. Those meant the world to all those families. So they lost everything. You can imagine that.
Yeah.
Close to 200 homes, I believe, in the community of Dunair Beach. Complete total loss. So we saw a lot of hurt and heartache, but we also saw a lot of determination and resiliency from First Nations and non-First Nation alike, coming together to support one another, care for one another, listen to one another, and heal. Because that's what it's going to take moving forward, is to continue to heal with one another and, you know, doing our part with the Prince Albert Grand Council and their First Nations too.
Yeah.
We've rebuilding phase back.
We've talked a lot about, you know, the after action review that will happen, reviews of what went well, what didn't go well. Would you have any suggestions for the province on handling a situation like this in future years? Anything you would like to see different?
Yeah, you know, immediately we did have some meetings with Scott Moe and some of his folks, so we were thankful for that. Some of the support systems that they did provide. Where there's lack, I'll say, with the whole actual fight and fires on the ground, is to not let it, there's a term that people are using, let it burn policy. And, you know, the government will say that that's not, that doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. But when there's a system that says this, if it's 20 kilometers away, we won't bother it, or something like that. But we know that when the wind picks up, that direction of the fire can bring complete chaos when the wind shifts. And that's what happened. So we're saying, tackle these fires quicker, work with the First Nations, as it's their land. It's our land. Let me tell you something. Before firefighters even existed, our First Nations, when they would see a fire deep, deep in the forest, they'd go tackle at night with no equipment, just with their bare hands or bare feet, with some buckets of water, and they'd go put it out. Now we're in unprecedented times with such a terrible wildfire that happened this year. So that's what it takes is... Yeah. Working together, First Nations, and taking their direction.
Chief Cameron, I know you've got a busy morning, and we've probably overstayed our conversation. So thank you for your time. I'd love to have you back on sometime. A few other things I wouldn't mind chatting about, but thanks again for your time this morning, and we'll stay in touch with regard to Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore.
Yeah, take care, Evan. Have a good day.
That is Chief Bobby Cameron. He's chief of FSIN, who came out with this media release yesterday. And they have got, so they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people quoted on this. Tribal Chief Jeremy Fourhorns, File Hills Capel Tribal Council, the Prince Albert Grand Council Chief. They've got Yorkton Tribal Council Chief. They've got Meadow Lake Tribal Council and Battleford Agency Tribal Council Representative. So they have got a number of people quoted on here, and they put forward some demands. One of them is immediate reinstatement of Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore until a full, transparent external investigation can be conducted. Immediate creation of an independent oversight for this disciplinary action within the RCMP. And then a formal commitment to protecting officers who strive for positive change and justice. This is a strong, strong endorsement for Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore. This voice should be something that Ottawa should be listening to. FSIN coming out with this release. This is not a small thing, because I'm saying it knowing that it can be an uncomfortable conversation. There isn't always really positive relationships between police and First Nations in our province, in our country. And there's a ton of historical reasons for that. But that's why this shines as bright as it does. Knowing that, knowing the history is not good, Chief Bobby Cameron and FSIN came out in support of a leader. He talked about trust. That's the word that stood out the most. He also compared her to Connor McDavid. I don't know if you caught that or not. Would you trade away your best player? So there you go. Rhonda Blackmore is the Connor McDavid of Saskatchewan policing. But at the end of the day, strong words in this release. We appreciate Chief Cameron coming on the show. And again, we'll continue to follow this story along. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Phone lines, text lines will be open for you. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Thursday morning, a fairly nice day today, although there is the chance we could see some showers or even thunder showers later on in the day. And, you know, when we talk about the wildfires in the north, we just had a brief chat with Chief Bobby Cameron, who talked about the fact the FSIN had been involved in supporting some of those communities in the north devastated by wildfires. You know, it's easy for us who are not dealing with this every day to breathe a sigh of relief and think, oh, thank goodness the worst of that is over. They've got many of them now under control. The reality is the fight continues. Firefighters still up there fighting these blazes. Whether they're contained or not doesn't mean everybody goes home and goes to sleep. The firefighters continue to work long hours protecting communities and trying to continue to contain the fires. Those that support the firefighters' efforts continue to do this work. And of course, people are returning home in some cases, in others to their remote cabins and seeing devastation and now in the process of trying to rebuild their life. So just basically a reminder, and I remind myself of this all the time, is while, yes, we are excited about the fact that hopefully we've round the corner on the worst of these wildfires, it's far from over. One lightning strike could start off another fire. This wildfire season, of course, continues right through. So we're not completely done with it yet. And just another tip of the hat and appreciation for everyone involved, whether it's fighting the fires, relief efforts with regard to the fires. It's super, super important. Well, we have been watching what's going on in to our neighbors to the west of us. Alberta, of course, has really taken things to the next level in many cases when we talk about frustration that provinces have with the federal government. I think Alberta has likely led the charge on that. Certainly, we know in our province there have been the battles between the provincial government and the federal government. Some of them will battle out in court. Others have just been a swapping of news headlines. But Danielle Smith and the Alberta government really seem to be taking this to the next level. It was just this week that she announced that they are going to be starting up their Alberta Next panel and talked about ultimately what she hopes from Mark Carney after seeing this movement happening in Alberta.
Well, I hope he takes the separatist sentiment as seriously as I do. It's no joke, and it's the highest I've ever seen it. And the reason for it is because of bad policies in Ottawa. And as I mentioned, they could solve this. They could solve this by having a mea culpa moment like they did when they repealed the carbon tax.
So she talks about wanting the prime minister to take the separatist movement as seriously as she does. Now, Premier Smith has said she won't come forward and actually put that question on a referendum ballot, but won't stand in the way of it if it is what the majority of people, or at least enough to trigger that referendum question, coming forward in Alberta. There was a new study, I've just got it in front of me here, from the Aristotle Foundation for Public Policy. Western separatist sentiment is nearing historic Quebec levels. So Western support for separation, depending on the survey that you look at, is as high as almost 37% in Alberta, just over 30% in Saskatchewan, 20% in BC. That actually shocks me the most of any of these numbers, because I would have not thought one in five people in BC support separating from Canada. But the report itself, and again, it's the Aristotle Foundation that has put this report out, talks about the fact there are echoes of 1970s Quebec in the current polling numbers in some pockets in Western Canada. So Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, has basically launched this Alberta Next panel. She announced on Tuesday the details of the work. They named its 15 members. So she said this summer, along with rodeos and pancake breakfasts, our government will be doing something a little bit different. They're traveling around the province. They're basically doing a cross and around Alberta tour, seeking input in no less significant topic than the future of Alberta itself. So, you know, she's quick to blame the fact that the federal government has had policies that have really restricted growth and in some cases prevented investment in industry in the province of Alberta. This 15-member panel is going to be led by the premier. She's got a couple of people from oil and gas executives. She's got some United Conservative Party legislative members on there, a retired judge, a University of Calgary economist. They've got 10 town halls scheduled that'll be beginning in basically in July, and they'll go through late September. And then from that, the panel will take together everything that they hear, and they will recommend ideas and policy proposals to be put to Albertans in a referendum in 2026. So that's an aggressive way, and I'm not using aggressive in a bad sense of the term. Aggressive meaning they are wanting to go out. It's important to them, clearly, to hear what Albertans are saying. Now, do you think Saskatchewan should take this same approach? And it's not about, I'm not pushing the separatist movement here at all. I've made it very clear I'm opposed to separation, not something I would vote in favor of. But should we be seeing something like this? If you look at the spectrum of ways in which provinces have handled the challenge that we've seen, and I'm just going to put the challenge in quotations because it can be everything from the United States to infrastructure investment, to defense, safety, and security, all of those things wrapped together. There has been lots of ways in which provinces have chosen to do this. We've seen Doug Ford, for example, in Ontario, really side with the federal government on many issues. In some cases, he was most aggressive against the United States. And we saw him do that campaign. We can talk about that a little bit later because they just came out with the actual costs of the advertising campaign. $52 million, I think, they spent on the advertising in the States. Saskatchewan tended to be a little bit more, I'm going to say, middle of the road. Our premier, of course, not shy to speak out against Ottawa on numerous things. On the U.S.-Canada relations, he was much more interested in kind of having those one-on-one conversations with leaders in the States. He was very careful not to call out Donald Trump directly, not wanting to do anything to incite that situation. When it comes to the topic of separation, we've heard the premier say he doesn't support it, but he understands it. We've heard him talk about what the mechanism is if someone were to want to get a referendum vote onto the floor of the ledge, how they could go about doing that. But some will argue that by going out and doing town halls and speaking in communities across the province, you're garnering attention to something that might be seen as agitating or inciting the movement for separation. I don't feel like that's what Danielle Smith is doing. She's wanting to hear from Albertans. And this is a big commitment. I mean, this Alberta Next movement or panel is a big commitment. It's going to take up the better part of the summer, and there's going to be work to be done on the back end of that. Do you think we should be doing that as well? Should we have a Saskatchewan Next panel? Would you like to have the premier and other leaders come out, listen to you speak in a town hall, put together recommendations, and then let Saskatchewan people vote on that? Would you like to see that, or are you happy with how we've been conducting ourselves? 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear from you. There's a number of people saying they would support separation and join Alberta in this dialogue, asking people what they would like to do. Les, for example, in Corning, weighing in on that. Absolutely, we should be doing this, says Scott. We do not have a voice in the West. This is the only way that Ottawa will listen to us. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts if you would like to join in the conversation. Should Saskatchewan basically replicate what they're doing in Alberta? Should we have our premier, other politicians, and other leaders in the province go around, hold community town halls, and get a real pulse, get a real sense of the vibe in the province? A replication of what they're doing in Alberta? 1-877-332-8255. More of your thoughts and your texts and your calls when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I think that's what Premier Danielle Smith in Alberta is wanting to find out. Should they go their own way? Is there going to be a strong enough voice when they meet with people at town halls all over the province with their Alberta Next panel, which is happening through the summer, through September? Will there be a loud enough voice calling for a referendum on separation that they would consider it? And so while they are doing that in Alberta, we don't have anything formal like that happening in Saskatchewan. And I'm asking, do you think it's good? Let's let Alberta take the lead on this. Let's let them do the heavy lifting. Or do you want to see Saskatchewan do something similar? Do you, would you like to see Premier Moe and other leaders, whether they're elected officials, non-government, so business officials, university professors, that's what they've assembled in Alberta. Would you like to see them going out, popping up in your community, holding a town hall and wanting to hear what you have to say? And it's, this is much bigger than separation. This is about the respect that Ottawa has for Western Canada. Now, number of people weighing in on the text line on this. Joel, for example, from Belcarce, 100% yes. We have zero leverage, and it will be status quo for as long as we choose to stay quiet in this abusive relationship. Not the first time I've heard someone refer to this as an abusive relationship, by the way. It has been a problem since Confederation, and why would Ottawa ever change without the threat of leaving? It's all a negotiation tactic. Joel and Belcarce, thanks for that. Greg and Regina, I'm sick of supporting Quebec and Eastern Canada with the equalization payments every year, only to have them stab us in the back by voting for the anti-West policies of the Liberals. You can put me down for separation. Now, Jason Regina is bringing a bit of a different voice to this, said, you know what? I'm 100% against separation. However, if there are people that want to separate, then they should wait until a conservative government gets in and see if the dialogue changes. If a conservative runs parliament and you still want to separate, then yeah, absolutely, let's run the referendum. But Jace says, don't get butt hurt and offended just because the government you wanted didn't get elected by the rest of Canada. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to bring Dwayne into the conversation from Carrot River. So we're watching Dwayne, Premier Danielle Smith in Alberta, do this Alberta Next panel. It's a series of town halls around the province. Should we be doing that? Would you like to see that in Saskatchewan?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I don't know why people continue the conversation about separating from Canada. Anyone that knows anything about the historical facts of Canada know that the natives own this land in Western Canada, and they're not going to part with Canada. So why do people keep talking about this? Secondly, these people like Smith with their little memorandum going around Alberta, all they're doing is, because they don't realize, let's say we're going to put in another potash mine or we're going to put in another pipeline or something like that. The first thing we do is go cap in hand down to Quebec and Ontario and the rest of the world and say, would you please finance this for us? Where is the money coming from? From people like that. And so if you get busy and have your little referendum go around and disturb the air, people are going to say, well, until I know that they're stable, I'm certainly not going to put one penny of my millions of dollars into Western Canada. And it's a self-defeating purpose. And just as an example, one of your last persons phoning in talked about the fact that he's tired of these equalization payments. One of the major industries in Saskatchewan was agriculture. And I don't think many farmers, and I'm sure most citizens in Saskatchewan, don't realize how many millions and millions and millions of dollars we get every year for crop insurance from Ottawa. They're guaranteed some 250 bushels an acre. Farming couldn't function without that money, and yet we never hear about that.
But many people, though, Dwayne, will point out that farmers pay premiums for that.
Oh, for sure, but we guarantee them that it's about a 40-60 thing. If there's overdrafts on it at all, the federal government bails them out. And that's happened year after year after year.
I know what you're saying, Dwayne. I think all of your points, I appreciate you bringing them up. The farmer one, I'm a bit resistant to lean into that because I just feel like what they have set up in Ottawa for agriculture tends to be giving back farmers the money that they put in terms of, you know, making payments on these sorts of government-sponsored insurance plans. So it's kind of like handing them back their own money. Yeah. We've had many, many calls on this through the time on this show. It's interesting, the whole notion of equalization, because that actually is something that has come into conversation with this Alberta Next panel. The communication they've done is proposing basically the current fiscal arrangement, which Ottawa collects about 60% of all tax revenues, to be flipped on its head. So they want to cut out the middleman instead of having provincial governments responsible for delivering health care and education. Well, they want to keep that, but they don't want the transfer payments. They would rather take 60% of the taxes. So push back on the transfer payments, because in a sense, that's us giving Ottawa GST money, and then they turn around and give us the money back in transfer payments. So one of the pushes coming from Alberta is that notion of cutting out the middleman. Let us keep the GST revenue and put it towards the things that transfer payments are coming. So delivering health care and education and social services and those types of things. So there's more of an alignment, actually, I think, than you realize between what's being said in Saskatchewan and Alberta and what has been said over the last few decades in Quebec. As much as we like to fight with Quebec, I am constantly frustrated by Quebec. They're one of the biggest ones blockading this pipeline movement. But some of the points that they've been able to make through their loud voice over the years have given them the special treatment that many are pointing to and saying, that's exactly what we need to happen in Western Canada. It's been a good discussion. I appreciate everyone weighing in. And we will continue this talk, no doubt, in the days ahead as we watch the Alberta Next panel make its way through the province of Alberta. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.